under the influence. Remember, we were studying Isaiah. We're talking about under the influence because we started in Isaiah, now we're in 1 Peter. Because we want to live lives that are under the influence. Not alcohol, not drugs, not even the junk that culture around you will throw at you. Stuff like you see on TV or the music that you listen to. We don't want to be under that influence, but we would rather be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And we looked at Isaiah. And remember, Isaiah had this one little phrase, and actually your firehouse staff, who we pray for you guys, we've adopted this phrase as we pray for you guys. Remember, Isaiah said, as people live lives under the influence, that people will see them and they'll say, they are a people the Lord has blessed. And as we pray for you guys, that's what we pray. We pray that every single one of our students will leave firehouse and go into their high schools, go into their community, go into their circle of friends, and their people around them will say, man, that person is a person the Lord has blessed. We pray that for you guys. I mean that. So then we went on to 1 Peter. Matt talked last week, and he did an awesome job about the first 9 verses in 1 Peter. And Peter was talking about salvation. He was introducing us to salvation. Remember, he said, you've been brought out of death into a living hope. And remember, Peter said, you should have just inexpressible joy that comes over you because of this truth. And then next week, Rob's going to talk about the verses after mine. He's going to talk about being called to obedience and holy living. Living after holiness. And what's really cool is God and Peter just put these 3 verses that we're going to talk about tonight. 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12. He just puts them right in that middle spot to transition from talking about salvation to talking about being called into holiness. And these 3 verses tonight are going to talk about how much do you treasure the cross? How much do you value salvation? And it's a transitional verses because if you treasure it the way that you should, the natural outflow of that will be a desire to pursue holiness. So before we begin, these verses are kind of heavy. So before we begin, I'm going to pray and I'm going to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to every single heart tonight. So let's pray. Father, you know how much I needed this message. You know how much I needed these 3 verses, God. And if I'm up here and I say not a single word, you've spoken to my heart enough that I think it's all worth it, Father. But I trust that your Spirit's going to go before me right now and is going to shatter strongholds in kids' hearts right now, Father. I don't know the brokenness that's sitting in this room, but you do, Father. And I would pray that tonight brokenness would be healed. Tonight, Father, people who don't know you, people who are far from you, people who don't have a living hope might find that tonight, God. And for those of us in here who are saved and who trust in you and trust in your cross alone, Father, remind us how much we should treasure that fact. Get me out of the way, God. Just speak. My words are clumsy and they're stupid, God, but your word is powerful. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. All right, so let's read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. I think it'll be on the screen too. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them, to the prophets, that they were serving not themselves, but were serving you in these things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Peter's going to talk about 2 groups of people, 2 groups of beings, that don't experience salvation firsthand, but have an appreciation for salvation. The first group is prophets. And he says it right there in verse 10. concerning salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours, not theirs, searched and inquired carefully. They searched and they inquired carefully. I am an extremely impatient human being. I don't search carefully for anything. If after like 5 minutes, I don't find what I'm searching for, I give up. I'm just like, oh, it's lost. I don't care. Move on to the next thing. So when I was thinking about this, I was like, Tommy, what have you ever searched for in your life like that ever meant anything? And I remembered. Every single year, right around December 25th, I sought out my presents. I don't know if we have any fellow present peekers in here, but if we do, raise your hand to make me feel better. Whew. All right, good. I stopped last year. I was a professional present peeker, guys. I mean, I had it down pat. I don't know, like, what the magical date was when my radar would flip on and I would start searching the house, but it happened every single year. If there was, like, a group for 8-year-olds who had a problem with present peeking, I should have been in that group, like Present Peekers Anonymous or something. And I would have came to that group, and I would have said, it's been 2 Christmases since I've peeked at my presents. And everybody would have clapped and said, oh, good job, Tommy. Yeah, but the thing is, that would have never happened because I never went a Christmas without peeking at my presents. So, this one year, my mom hides my presents in like the most ridiculous spot. She hides them in the first spot I would look. Her mom and dad's closet. Okay, my mom is better than this. I'm like 9 years old. My mom is better than this because she knew. She's like, Tommy's little 7-year-old brain can't do this. So I'm going to hide the presents in the trunk of the car. So she one time, I think I was like 7 or something, she drove around for like 2 months with my presents in her trunk because she knew I couldn't wrap my little brain around how do I get the trunk open. One time, you know, like she'll put them up high or something. But this year, she puts them in the closet. So my little radar's on, I'm searching. I open the closet door, jackpot. Blue and green wrap presents galore. So I do what I'm a professional present peeker, as I said, so I know how to open up a present. You've got to get down really close, and you've got to, with the care of a heart surgeon, take that tape off. But it doesn't even matter, because no matter how careful you are, the evidence will always be there. Like, you can be a heart surgeon and try to open up a wrapping paper. It's always going to have evidence that you opened it. Like, the tape will have little bits of wrapping paper on it, or the wrapping paper itself will be torn. So every year my mom knew this was going to happen, and I guess she just accepted it when I was 9 years old. So a couple weeks go by, and it's Christmas time. And, of course, I wake up first because I'm the most excited. But it's kind of weird because I'm not excited to find out what I got. I'm excited to play with what I already know I got. So I get up, and I'm running down the hall. And I turn the corner, and there's the tree. It's beautiful. It's lit up. And then there are no blue and green wrapped presents under the tree. There's only, like, pink presents for my sister. And I, like, went on a rage, like, comparable to, like, the Incredible Hulk. I mean, I woke up the house that Christmas morning with... So in my fit of rage, I concoct this plan that I'm going to book it down the hall and go demolish my room. I'm going to slam the door shut, and I'm just going to demolish my room. I'm going to throw things. I'm going to keep doing my Incredible Hulk. And it's just going to be bad news Christmas for my mom. So I start down the hall. I ran straight into the corner of the wall and split my eye wide open. So in a heartbeat, I'm glad you feel sorry for me being angry. So in a heartbeat, I go from like Incredible Hulk rage to, oh, mommy, my eye, my little pony, I need my little pony doll. Like in a heartbeat. The funny thing is, my presents were actually under the tree. My mom thought it would be a good idea to play a trick on me, and since I had opened all my presents, she rewrapped them and put them in different size boxes. Yeah, well, tricks on mom, I had to go to the hospital. Yeah. That's, like, literally, that's the only time I've ever sought out anything in my life, is, like, looking for my presents. But here's the thing, guys. These prophets, these holy men of old, they devoted their whole lives to seeking out and inquiring about the salvation that is now revealed to you. I devoted 10 days in December. They devoted their whole lives. How much should you treasure salvation? Let's look at Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. Isaiah, this is a guy who never experienced the fullness of salvation, who never knew the name Jesus Christ while he was alive, yet listen to what he writes about. Verses 5 and 6 of Isaiah 53. But he was wounded for our transgressions, talking about Jesus. He was crushed for our iniquities, and upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. Literally, stripes from whiplashes. By his stripes we are healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And Isaiah is prophesying this by the Holy Spirit. And he seeks out, God, is this the Messiah? Is this the Messiah? Is this salvation come to earth? Wanting it so bad to devote his whole life. And how much more should we treasure salvation? But it's not just prophets. I like this. It's angels too. Let's go back to 1 Peter verse 12. And it was revealed to them, the prophets, that they were serving not themselves, but you, and the things that have been now announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Look, guys, angels are created beings. They're not born. They're not born with the same sinful nature that we have inside of us. They're created. They don't need salvation from anything, and they don't need salvation to anything because they're with God right now as we speak. And even though they don't experience salvation firsthand, we can understand from the Bible that they have an idea. They know what salvation is about because, remember, angels were there at the birth of Christ. And then when Christ gets led up to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, angels are there ministering to Christ. And then when Christ is in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying. Christ is about to be crucified. An angel is strengthening him. At the empty tomb, there are angels. After Christ has been crucified and he rose again from the dead, there are angels guarding his tomb. And then at the ascension, right before Christ is about to go back into heaven, there in the book of Acts, angels are there. And it says that angels rejoice over a single sinner saved. That's in Luke. It's like a party goes on every time somebody gets saved. Angels understand salvation. But I like this. I like this a lot because that look there, that word look, that they long to look into these things, into salvation. It's not just like if I walk down the road and I see Sam Powers and I'm like, hey, Sam, what's up? And I look at him or he sees me. And it's like, what's up, Tommy? This word is parakupto in Greek. Parakupto. And it means to actually physically bend over, to stoop down, to look at something that you're curious about, to get a view of it, to see it clearer. It's like when we're kids, or I guess I did it when I was a kid, and I'm walking down the sidewalk, and there's like an insect walking by, you know, like a little bug. You know, you stoop down to look at it, you know, see the fascinating details. And then some of you guys were bullies, and you had a magnifying glass, and you tried to cook the bug. That wasn't me. I just heard about people doing that. I heard from the other kids. That's parakupto, though. When you do that, that's what you're doing. You're doing parakupto. And the angels do that about your salvation. Not about a salvation that they know as their own, but they do that about your salvation. Angels were there when Christ hung on that tree. And the Father had to turn his face away as Christ bore all of our sins. Angels were there. They know how important a job it was for God to send his son on earth to die for humans. And they don't even experience that firsthand. But they long to look at it. They long to steal a glance of the salvation that is right before you. I love verse 12 because the idea that angels long to desire, they desire after, they parakupto after what I have, makes me wonder how much do I treasure my salvation. Now all this is being done though, guys, by the Holy Spirit. I want to read verses 10 through 12 again, and I want you to keep in mind the Spirit as we read, because he's doing a lot here. So let's read them again. And I think we have a better understanding of what Peter's trying to say. So maybe this time around, it won't be as confusing. All right, verse 10. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or what time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but serving you in these things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit in heaven, things into which angels long to look. The Spirit prophesied, the Spirit predicted, the Spirit indicated, the Spirit revealed, and the Spirit preaches and teaches and announces right now about this salvation in front of you. And the cool thing about this, the point of all that is, that Spirit that was upon Isaiah to allow Isaiah to prophesy the amazing things that he did, the Spirit that was upon all the prophets that allowed them to do those big and crazy and awesome huge things, that same Spirit is in you right now if you trust in Jesus Christ. And that same Spirit desires and longs to do crazy, awesome, big things in you. And another thing I love about verse 12 is that it's happening right before your eyes. We can actually read verse 12 in present tense. It was revealed to the prophets that they were serving not themselves, but they were serving you guys. And the things that are being announced to you right now through me, who's preaching the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Right now, that is happening. Salvation is being revealed to you right now. The Christ, the Messiah that Isaiah looked for, that the prophets, the holy men of God looked for, is now revealed to you. You know him by the name Jesus Christ. Some of you in here need to be like the prophets. And you guys need to, in your own heart, search out carefully for the Messiah. You need to ask yourself, do I need to be saved? Guys, the question isn't, do I feel like I need to be saved? The question is, do I need to be saved? Because you can need to be saved without feeling like you need to be saved. Just a few weeks ago, we remembered the tragic events of September 11th. And what I wouldn't give to be there in New York City at the base of the towers on September 11th, 2001, before the planes even take off, to be there at the base of the towers, and as people file into the towers, to scream at the top of my lungs, you need to be saved. Because they don't feel like it. It's just another day for them. And what I wouldn't give to say, you need to be saved. Whether you feel like it or not, you've got to answer that question. If you're face to face with God right now, what acceptable answer could you possibly give him to allow him to even be, to allow you to be, even be in his presence. Remember a few weeks ago, Pastor Rob, speaking from Isaiah in this Under the Influence series, he spoke about what our righteous deeds are, what our good works are. The best things that we can do on this earth are like pus-filled rags to God. The best deeds that I can perform when I die and I offer them up to God, they're just pus-filled rags. The Bible is clear. You're not good enough. The Bible is also clear that that's okay. Remember Isaiah 53 that we just read not too long ago? He was wounded for our transgressions. By his stripes we are healed. You're not good enough, and that's okay, because Jesus Christ was. The death that you deserve to die, he died in order so that you can have the life that you don't deserve. I know some of you in here are saved. But you need to ask yourself, how much do I treasure this salvation? Holy men of old devoted their lives to it without ever seeing the fulfillment, without ever knowing the name Jesus Christ. Angels in heaven sing praises about your salvation. Revelation 5:12, John, he wrote the book of Revelation. God gave him a glimpse of heaven. One of his glimpses, he describes this scene. He describes thousands upon thousands of angels singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." Listen, guys, they're not singing, "Worthy is King Jesus, Lord of all the earth." That is true. But they're singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." They're singing about your salvation. If angels who experience this secondhand are so consumed by it, then how much more should we be consumed by it who have experienced it firsthand? The angels are in heaven singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain," about your very salvation. Are we going to let the angels sing louder than us about our very own salvation? Are the angels going to praise God more for your salvation than you do? They're just getting a glimpse of it. This salvation is evident that it should consume you. It should consume your time, your thoughts, your money, your resources. And a good way for you to ask yourself, do I treasure my salvation? Do I treasure the cross? Is to think about, what if somebody followed you for a week? What if somebody was with you from the moment you woke up to the moment you went to bed? What if they saw every text message you sent? What if they saw every TV show you tuned into? What if they saw every website you went on when nobody else was around? What if they saw your thoughts? What if they could hear you? Would they, at the end of the week, then say, that person treasures the cross? We want to live lives under the influence because we're tired of living meaningless lives. We're tired of our lives being defined by the sport that we play. We're tired of our lives being defined by our latest Call of Duty score. We're tired of our lives being defined by the clique that we hang out with, by what our friends think of us. We We want people to look at us and say, that is a person the Lord has blessed. It starts with being saved, and then it follows up with treasuring your salvation. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to pray here in a minute. Before I pray, I know that especially in a group this size, there are some of you in here who need to be like the prophets of old. And you need to seek out the Messiah. You need to seek out salvation. And you need to ask yourself, do I need to be saved? And you need to be honest and say, not do I feel like I need to be saved, but do I need to be saved? Because the most tragic thing that can happen tonight, guys, is for somebody to walk out those doors and not experience salvation firsthand. And then there's others of you that are in here, and you are saved, but you just needed to be reminded of how much we should treasure our salvation. And you needed to hear, like I needed to hear, that the angels themselves long to look at what we have. And you need to confess to God that you have dirtied up His cross, that you have made a mess of His beautiful salvation, and that it no longer means to you what it once meant. And you just need to say, God, I want my passion restored. I want to have the desire that the angels have, and I want to have it even more. After I pray, we're going to sing those very words the angels sing. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. I'm just going to ask you guys, if the Spirit of God has worked in your heart, we're going to have our leaders in the back. You can come up at any time during the song. Just ask us to pray with you. We would love to pray with you and rejoice in what God is doing. Let's pray. Father, I'm only up here, Father, by the blood of Christ. I don't know where my life would be without it, God. And this week has been overwhelming as I opened up to 1 Peter, God. And I just pray that tonight these kids will look past the stupid things that I've said. And that your Spirit will pierce their hearts, Father. Because I don't know what kind of brokenness is in this room right now, God. But I know there's got to be some. And I ask, God, that you would keep Satan far from this place right now in these next few minutes. Make it a sanctuary for kids to just cry out to you, God. And may our voices, as we echo those words, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, may our voices ring as a beautiful noise to your ears. Love you, Father. I thank you for what you're doing in this place, in Firehouse. Amen.